know they're meeting at Cedar Creek this afternoon as well. We keep those dear brethren in our prayers, as well as all of the little churches that, as Brother Terry was mentioning, Brother Richard, those that he pastors, remember those little congregations, those little churches that he's been pastoring so faithfully. And continue to pray for our little congregation here and our church. The Lord would continue to bless us with what we stand in need of. Just been overwhelmed with the goodness of the Lord in my life. And I feel we all have so much to be thankful for what the Lord's done for us, that duty demands, really, us coming together like we do from time to time to worship the Lord and to just thank Him for all that He's done for us. We meet to praise Him, to honor Him, to give Him glory, and to learn more about Him. And when you learn more about Him, the more you want to praise Him. The more you praise Him, the more you want to learn about Him. And you find yourself in a situation where, as you walk in what God gives you, the light He gives you, He allows you to see a little clearer, a little brighter, and it gives you a hunger and an appetite to see more, to learn more. And then the more you learn and you see, the more you're thankful and you rejoice, and it grows that way. The opposite is also true. The times where we miss or we fail to take the opportunity with the light that He's shown us, and the times we have to be able to meet, and we fail or we go another direction, which we all do. Sometimes we do it physically, just by not being present. Other times we may do it by, you can do it while you're here. You can be present and be absent. You know, present in body, but absent in mind and in thought. Any teacher who's ever taught children know they can be sitting right in the classroom and be somewhere else. And anyone who's been a student in a classroom knows you can be right in the classroom but be somewhere else. And that not only is true in a schoolhouse, but it's true in a church. That as you meet here today, it's important that we understand this is the house of the Lord, and we want to be present. We want as much as we can, body, soul, and spirit, to be engaged in the activity of praising the Lord and learning and growing in the church that He's given us, and in the way and manner that He's given us to be instructed. That's really through the preaching of the gospel here in this world. Of course, it takes the Lord to quicken, to make alive, and that has to be a priority first, or none of this will be of any benefit. But if the Lord has given one life, brought them out of a state of death, and given them life in Christ, it's a good place to be to hear His word preached. Nothing can comfort you more. Nothing can encourage you more. Nothing can excite you more. Nothing can cause you to love living more. Nothing can help you when you're down more to get up. Nothing can be of more benefit to you. It's like, as the scripture says, and Brother Mike quoted it on the way in, as cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And the reason that verse is so wonderful is because God inspired it and gave it to us, and it's the truth. And the good news is the good news of Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it isn't to a dead soul, but a live soul, and not just a living soul, but a thirsty soul, one who's been given an appetite, one who's been given a life, which in turn brings an appetite. That good news that's from a far country, it's not a local thing, it's from a distance, it comes down from heaven, is the food that the Lord provides for us in the preaching of the gospel and in His word for God's little children. That's as cold water to a thirsty soul. And I pray that God has made you real thirsty, and that the Lord will provide us with His cold water, and that we could all dig deep and draw from the wells of salvation the things that we stand in need of hearing, both things that have to do with eternal things and things that have to do with timely, temporal, day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, salvation for this very moment that we're sitting in this congregation today. A scripture passage came on my mind this morning as Brother Stan was preaching and also has been there, that's found in the writings of the Apostle Paul unto the brethren in Thessalonica and to the Church of the Thessalonians in the fifth chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians. We'd like to read to you this afternoon. And I'd like to begin at verse 12, which is really towards the close of this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. And we'll probably read down to the end of the book, the end of this chapter, which is the end of the book of 1 Thessalonians, beginning at verse 12. We'll read down through verse 28. These are some closing remarks, if you would, or some directions, some charges that he gave unto the churches of the Thessalonians. And as we've said many times before, the instruction that's given in the Bible to these individual churches and these that were written by inspiration from the Apostle Paul and unto the various places are as much in effect to us today at Happy Creek as it was to those brethren that he wrote to, because it's part of God's Word. I pray here that we have a real respect for the Bible as being the Bible. The Bible is God's inspired Word. It's where we go for our rules. It's our rules of faith and our rules of practice. It is what we're to look to. It's what we're to preach. It's what we're to talk about. It's what we're to sing. It's the way we're to think about the Lord. It's a place we go to find out what is right and what's wrong. We mentioned earlier about our country and our nation losing the sight between morality and immorality, between right and wrong. And really that blindness has come in part because of a famine in the land. And the famine is not of things to eat in a natural way, but is a famine of the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. And a disrespect to God's Word. And ignoring of God's Word. A take it or leave it attitude about God's Word. A take it or leave it attitude about whether the Bible is true or whether the Bible is altogether true. And not just the idea of the thought that it's a good book that's okay to read and it's good for you to read. But today we should have a special respect to this book above all other books that we have in this world. Because this is God's holy Bible. This is His Word. Given to us by inspiration of God as men were moved to the Holy Spirit. They penned it down. And then God's hand has been upon it. And upon it even in the translation of it. That we have before us that which is God's Word that you and I can count on this afternoon. Isn't it good to have something to count on? You listen to the news. You can't count on the news because you don't know whether it's true. Or whether it's not. You don't know whether it's somebody's slant of it or whether it's not. You don't know whether it's really what's going on or whether it's not. We hear it, and I'm not saying being in the dark about that, but I'm saying to you, you can't really count on the things that you hear from other sources. But I'm telling you today, the things that we're going to hear from this Word, and what I read in your hearing this afternoon, you can count on it as being God's Word that He's preserved and kept. Just as sure as He's preserved His people and is going to keep them to be with Him in heaven and immortal glory. We don't believe He's going to lose one of them, do you? I hope you don't. I hope you believe that all that the Father giveth Him is going to come to Him. And he that cometh to Him, He'll no wise cast out. They're going to come in regeneration. Every one of them are going to be born of the Spirit of God. And that every one of them are preserved, have a reservation. We, and I hope we can say we, right? That makes it sound a lot better for us. When we have a reservation, a heavenly reservation that we will not lose out on or miss, but reserve for you, a place prepared for you, a place that He's prepared for them that love Him, and they love Him because He first loved them. He first loved us. And that He'll not lose one of them. And I believe just as sure as He's able to keep His people, as sure as He able to do with the work of His fingers, the stars, where He has all of them, He calls them out by name, and they are there, and He knows them, and He not only knows them, He made them, and not one of them failed. Just as sure as that's the case, His Word is preserved by the One who gave it. He's keeping His Word, and it's right here before us, and as we read it today, we can be sure that it is God's Word, and you can build your house on it. You can live your life by it. You can make your decisions by it. If you want to know what's moral and what's immoral, you come to the Bible. And what it says, let God be truth and every man a liar. And be willing not only to hold it, but to confess it. And if it needs be, to die for it. And I hope and pray that the Lord would spare us from that. But I'm telling you, there are many of His little children that have left this world not willing to compromise and willing to hold the name of Jesus Christ and profess it even to their death. And they close their eyes, so to speak, on this side and open their eyes to see their darling Savior face to face. And you know, when that happens, what a day. All this is not going to matter. Well, we're going to be with the Lord, and what a wonderful, wonderful place that will be. Well, let's read what's before us here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. He says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." If we have any question about whether this is for us, well, He answered that, didn't He? He tells us that right in His Word. He says, "I charge you by the Lord that this epistle, this letter, be read unto all the holy brethren." Somebody said, "Well, how is that being read to us? We're just this little group of sinners that have gathered over here at Happy Creek Church here in Front Royal, Virginia. And there's none of us that would dare say about ourselves, we're holy brethren." That is in and of ourselves. I hope we would all say there's none good. No, not one. That's me. That's you. That's all of us. And we would understand that by nature, that's where we are and that's where we would stay. But I also want us to understand by the Lord Jesus Christ and what Jesus did at Calvary, what Brother Terry has already mentioned in his prayer, we were reconciled unto God. That is, that our sins were taken from us and put upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And there at Calvary, He bore our sins in His own body, in our room instead. The wrath of God was poured out on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And He paid that sin debt and paid it in full. And what we deserved, He bore. And what He deserved, He gave unto us. And therefore, I address you today, dear ones, dearly beloved, as holy brethren. You say, how in the world could we be holy? Holy in that there was a Savior who died for you and you've been washed in His blood. The Bible says that you are a chosen generation, a holy nation. The Bible says that you are a royal priesthood. The Bible says He chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world, and that you in Him you have redemption, in Him you have the forgiveness of sins. He says even that you have been made accepted in the Beloved. Now, how were you made accepted? In the Beloved. And so how are you a holy brother, a holy sister in the Lord? And how is it that we are able to worship Him in a way that's acceptable unto Him today? It's because of what He's done for us. And therefore we are to read this in all, to be read unto all the holy brethren. Why? Because they need it. God's little children need to know how to live, know how to act, know how to talk, know how to behave in this world. We as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ need to know how we're to act and behave in a way to bring honor and glory to our Lord, in a way to shine the light of Jesus Christ from our assemblies, in a way to meet and worship Him and honor Him in spirit and in truth, in a way to get along with one another and to love one another and to find the joy and the peace and the rest in living a life as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no higher calling on the face of this earth. He says here, we beseech you. That is a beautiful little word, to beseech you. He says, and He speaks to them as brethren. What a great relationship to have in this world with God's little children. You know, I talked to my brother last night. He was there, and my brother Stan was there, and I said, hey, brother, this is my brother. And my brother says, yes, I'm brother, brother. And he was brother, brother, talking to brother Stan, and I thought, boy, what a wonderful relationship to have brother. And I love when old Baptists meet. They don't mind saying, hi, brother. Hi, sister. How you doing? How are we getting along? How's everything going? And it's not just, I know sometimes we kind of get a little informal and we forget to say that and we forget to use that term, but I want to encourage us. Don't lose that. I know there are sometimes we think, well, is that really that important? Is that really that necessary? I'll tell you, it's a distinguishing characteristic when God's little children are not ashamed to address one another. And it'll sure help you when it comes time to when you start talking about, sometimes we might start talking about one another. You know, usually when you have a brother and a brother start falling out, or a brother and a sister, or a sister and a sister, one of the first things that drops is that little title, brother. And they said, did you see what Gary did? Or did you see what Martha did? Or did you see what Betty did? Or did you see that? Did you see it? And you go like, do you mean Brother Gary? Or do you mean Sister Martha? Or do you mean Sister Betty? Well, you know I meant that. Well, sometimes that's usually, if you'll notice, I've noticed over quite a few years now, that once that little thing starts, it's usually one of the first things that happens is we forget who we're talking about. Listen, I love you. And I don't love you because I'm lovable or you're lovable, but I'm telling you, our Savior, who loved you enough to send our Father, who loved you enough to send His only begotten Son here in this world, He sent Jesus to die in your room instead. And we have a relationship, not just a natural bloodline, but a spiritual relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ as the little children of God, as little lambs and little sheep. And the Bible will tell us how we're to treat one another. And here we see the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of God, he didn't just call them, hey, you bunch of people, hey, folks. He just said, brethren. He addressed them as the brethren. He says, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And he goes on and he says, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now this admonition that's given is about the ministry. And it's not about one individual minister. It's about the ministry as a whole. Those that have been called, those that the Lord has given the responsibility to teach and to preach the gospel to His little children. Those who've been put in a place to be under shepherds, they're not over shepherds, they're not to be lords over God's heritage. They're to do it in fear and in humility and in love. But they have been given a charge by Almighty God and a burden by Almighty God to preach and to teach God's little children and to help them along the way by sharing with them what God gives them from the Word of God. They are accountable unto the Lord, to be faithful to the Word of God, to be faithful to the Lord. They are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're given a labor. And it is a labor. It's not an easy task. If it becomes an easy task, believe me, we're not doing as ministers what we ought to do. Sometimes we do become a little slothful. Sometimes we might become a little lazy and need to be encouraged. Listen, the church needs faithful, laboring pastors and teachers, those that are faithful to study, to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, those that are rightly dividing the word of truth, those that are coming, praying, Lord, help me feed this congregation. Lord, help me study and learn more of thy word that I may share it with thy children. Faithful laborers who will visit the little children of God in their afflictions and in their troubles, and as they stumble and fall, who doesn't want to just kick them, but wants to help them along and bring them along and nurture them and admonish them and teach them in compassion and long-suffering, and yet with a firmness that is necessary for a pastor. And those are some very, very difficult lines for us to hit and marks to hit. That's why the ministry needs your prayers, dear children of God. Not just I need them. I need them as I'm a pastor or trying to be a pastor here. I need your prayers. I need you to be praying that the Lord would keep me faithful, that the Lord would keep me a laborer, not a slothful. I don't want to be a slothful steward. That the Lord would keep my mind and my heart upon the absolute importance of sharing the truth and the absolute importance of us teaching faithfully God's word and standing firm. And not being just haphazard with it or taking it lightly or for granted, any unadvisedly, but rather look to the Lord and in prayer, seeking to be able, each time we come, to be able to feed God's little lamb and his little sheep. He says for you to know them which labor among you. That means to understand them, to know it, not only just know about them, but to understand what it is that, to understand the task that they have and the duty and the responsibility that they do have. Listen, we're answerable to God for that which we say. And when a minister forgets that, boy, let me just say it this way. When we forget that, we sure mess up real quick, don't we? We get to speaking out of turn. We say way too much. We drop the term, brother. We do a lot of things. We say a lot of things that are out of task. Listen, what we want to be is faithful, number one, to the Lord. And when we do that, we'll be teaching those things that are good for God's little children. And we do it with all long-suffering and doctrine. He says, for you to know them which your labor are among you and are over you in the Lord. Now, none of us like to think about anybody being over us. I want you to understand we don't want to get this out of order or out of the way it's to be laid down. There's two problems that can happen when it comes to a church and a minister. Sometimes the eye might get to where the church just gets so confident in the minister that anything that he says, they just tend to take it as, well, that's absolutely got to be the truth. And I'll tell you, when that starts happening, the eye has gotten off the Lord Jesus Christ and on a man, and it doesn't matter what man that is. God will not share His glory with anyone, nor should He, because all the glory and all the honor belongs to the Lord. And there is a great mistake made when a church just sits back and says, well, if our preacher says it, it's got to be so. If our preacher teaches it, it's got to be so. And they, like blind little lambs and sheep that are dumb, they just follow the man wherever he leads them. And most time when they get into that kind of case, even if the man is if the man is faithful and a good man, he will soon tell them, y'all need to get your eyes off me and on the Lord. You need to remember who is the King of Kings and who is the Lord of Lords. Who is the under-shepherd and who is the over-shepherd. And he should constantly be reminding a congregation of that. But a great danger can happen when you just open your mouth wide and take in anything that comes from a pulpit without being discerners and discerning in your listening. You're to take what's taught from the pulpit, and I'm not saying question everything with just like trying to nitpick, but I'm saying you can, because that's a dangerous place too. But I'm saying have some measure of confidence in it, but you just be listening. And when something does, you hear an uncertain sound, You go home and you search your scriptures and you search your, to see whether these things be so. And as you see what is truth, you lay hold on to it. But if it's I, Paul said this, I or an angel of heaven should preach anything to you other than that which you have heard, let him be accursed. And it's very important that we understand that any man, no matter who he is or what he's been in the past, is apt and can fail. We've seen it down through the years, and the Bible certainly teaches us that. It says, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Now, how are they over you? They're over you in this way. As they come and preach the word, and they teach to you what the Bible says, what they are saying to you should be followed and heeded and listened to. And in that sense, they are over you in the Lord. Now, if they come and give you their opinion, their ideas, and their thoughts with absolutely no thus saith the Lord for those things, they have absolutely no authority whatsoever to be in a position to rule. But when a minister is faithful to the Scripture, when he stands and preaches and teaches what God leads him in his heart, and he gives a thus saith the Lord and preaches in power and in demonstration of the Spirit, God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. These are messages that God has given us. As we heard Brother Stan preach today, they were messages that God gave us for us to heed and to listen to. And we can't just say, and here's the other mistake, one is to be blind and say, I'm just going to follow him wherever he goes. And the other one says, well, that's just so-and-so. I don't really have to listen to him anyway. Well, if it's just so-and-so saying it, that's true. But if he's teaching what the Bible teaches. You see, some people get the idea, well, I can take what the Bible says and the parts I like, I'll take. But the parts I don't like, well, we'll just vote to turn that part out. Or we'll just decide we don't really need that part. And I'm telling you what happens. It's soon that we're meeting here and the most important guest in the building is not with us. He's on the door, knocking on the door in some cases. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And we have become neither hot nor cold and willing just to be lukewarm and take in anything and think we've got it all, we don't need anything, and we're soon without him. Not in the sense we're not his, but I tell you, I need fellowship every meeting, don't you? When I come to church, I want him to sit with me. I want him to be with me here in this pulpit. I want to feel the Lord's presence. I want the congregation to feel the Lord with you as you're hearing these things. When you're having trouble in this old world, just to have the preacher there doesn't mean much. But when you feel the Lord is with me, then the Lord can use that poor little weak, feeble man to say those things that really hit the spot. The Lord can teach you and does teach you. And every time you've ever sat in a congregation and been fed, you remember the only one who can rain manna from heaven is the Lord. And you give him the praise and the honor and the glory for that. And then he says that are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Well, who's that talking about? It's talking about the ministry. And to esteem them very highly in love. That means all those little brethren that visit us from all over the country, we ought to show them we love them. We ought to show them that we appreciate them. We ought to be thankful when they come. When we have a visiting preacher or when your pastor's here. And just remember, it's the Lord has given you a blessing, not because of who they are. Listen, who they are, who they are? Just like everybody else. They're the children of wrath, even as others. That's who they are. But I'm telling you, when the Lord quickens them and makes them alive, and then he calls them, and then he gives them a gift, and then they're able to stand in that gift and preach in power and demonstration of the Spirit. Y'all know what it's like when we have one of those meetings where it seems like every minister comes up and the Lord just blesses them to preach, and you have one follow the other, and you just have the meeting go on, and somebody might say it goes on, and we just say, well, it was too short. It just seemed everything was just right on track, just the way it ought to be. I'll tell you, there's nothing like that in this world. And if you're down, it'll help you up. If your heart's broken, it'll heal you. If you feel like you can't see, your eyes get open and your ears get unstuck. Sometimes nothing's changed about your circumstances, but you feel a whole lot better. And sometimes you don't even know why. Even a peace that passes understanding can just overwhelm you. You feel His presence with you. And that's a blessing the Lord has given us in our churches. We need every minister He's given us. We need to be praying for them. Sometimes it's so easy, and I'm talking to me more than you, it's easy for us to criticize. It's easy for us to pick apart. I've even been in some cases where you had a good meeting, and then you go out after the meeting, and you end up talking about your wrong things, and the next thing you know, you wonder whether you had a good meeting or not, because you picked apart a lot of things that folks have said. And I'm not saying we are not to be discerning hearers, but I'm saying, brethren, if we have a question, or we have a concern, to whom should we go with those questions and those concerns? Because I'm telling you, the old devil just waiting for a place that he can come in, and the next thing you know, take you from thinking it was a good meeting and something was said that wasn't even said. Have you ever had that happen? Absolutely. And the place to go would be to whom? First of all, go to the Lord and ask Him whether you should do anything. But if it's still troubling you after that, you go to that minister. Sometimes it's not even something he said, it's something you thought he said. Sometimes it's something he might have said that he didn't know he said. And sometimes it's something he's saying that needs to be corrected, because he's saying it in a way that he really doesn't mean it. And I say he, I'm talking about me. I'm saying there, sometimes we're saying things that are confusing God's people, though that's not our intent. I don't know any old Baptist minister right now that intentionally comes in and tries to confuse the little lambs and sheep. But I know sometimes I have done that, though my intent wasn't to do it. And those good brethren who've loved me enough, in love, to come and help me, and I've had many of them, have some of them sitting here now, that have done that, has been a great benefit to me, just to be able to clarify that. And then it reminds you the next time you come to that, and I want to express this, then I'm able to share that. And that's the way the Lord works. It's a wonderful thing to see Him work that way. And then what it does then, instead of dividing the body, it draws them closer together. And we're looking over one another in love for the benefit of one another. And that's a wonderful thing. He says to esteem them very highly. Why? And you do it in love. Now listen, if God hasn't given you love, you don't have love to operate in. But it's an amazing thing to start operating in love. So many times God's little children have all the love that they need. They just don't use it. And I tell you, you got a family that's got all the love they need for one another and they don't use it, you got a mess, don't you? But when they start operating in love, you know, forgiveness comes so easy when you guys start operating in love. Saying I'm sorry becomes so easy. Saying I forgive you becomes so easy. Saying I love you. Saying I'm forgetting everything that's held us apart. And we come back together in love. Oh, I'll tell you, and it feels better than it was even before. Have you experienced that? Brethren, what a blessing. I'm telling you, the one most wonderful experience is to think about what Jesus has done and forgiven you and forgiven me. And as I think about that, I think, what could someone do that I could not say, I forgive you? If there's a repentant heart and a repentant spirit, we can forgive one another. And even if there isn't, you can still hold it in such a way that God can give you the forgiveness that you're supposed to have. Though you may not like what's going on, you can still have love for that individual enough so that you can get on your knees and pray for one another. You know, the Bible says for us to do that. Pray without ceasing. Pray for one another. Pray for your enemies. Now, pray not only for those that you love, but pray for your enemies. Pray for those that have done this, those that have done despite against you. Pray for them. And I'll tell you what it does. It will help your heart. It'll unload your burden. It'll lift you up. You won't be carrying around a whole lot of stuff that sometimes... I think of years sometimes that I carry things that I should have just dumped. I should have dumped that a long time ago where it belonged. But I carried it. The old devil would want you to say, well, if you've been carrying it that long, you might as well keep on carrying it, because he doesn't want you to get rid of that. Listen, there's a great liberty in just saying, Father, help me. Give me a heart of forgiveness as I'm supposed to have. And that doesn't mean I put up with everything. As a matter of fact, you want to put up with what God's Word tells you to. But it does, and forgiveness doesn't mean that you just overlook things. What it means is I'm going to approach them in the way the Lord would have me to approach them. And then there's a peace in that and a joy in that that you'll miss otherwise. He says to esteem them very highly in love for their work. Now why should we esteem the ministry? For their work's sake. For their work's sake. Listen, it's a responsibility and a burden that they've been given. And a joy and a privilege. That's kind of strange to the world. They say, well, you know, I have sometimes people say, say to me, and that I'm about to retire from teaching, and they'll say, well, are you going to retire from preaching also? As a matter of fact, some of them just assume once you retire from one, you're going to retire from the other. And I always tell them what I heard an old Baptist say many years ago. Brother Holly Redmond, he may have gotten it from some old Baptist too, but he used to say, old Baptist preachers don't retire, they expire. And that means they die. And they preach until they die. That's when they get called into retirement. They get called out of this world. And I'm sure that Daddy may be over there in that nursing home, but I'll guarantee you if somebody sit down and may not know who they are, he may not know anything about them, but if they sit down and start talking about the things of the Lord, there's going to be something that comes out of him. There's going to be, I had a little brother said it today, I'm going to see you, Daddy. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll guarantee you when I sit down and start talking about the Lord, he's going to talk about the Lord. He said, I've never talked to him yet. He didn't do it. He said, that's what he's going to talk about. Brother Stanley Cato said that he came in and found a little nurse sitting there. Hey, here, his daddy was just preaching away. And a little nurse was sitting there listening by him. And as she went out the room, she looked at him. He said, that man ought to be a preacher. I'm telling you, he preached. And he may not have it's in, and that's what the calling is. That's what the burden is. It's in their heart to do that. To share the wonderful truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that doesn't come. It's a long distance call. It's a long distance burden. And we're to esteem them very highly. Not because we show a minister more respect than the other brethren, but because the Lord has called them to that, and the Bible says to do it. The Bible says to esteem them very highly in love. Why? For their work's sake. Because the Lord has called them to that position. Does that mean you give them more? No. It's just this is what you're to show them. And what it means is when a preacher preaches the truth to you, listen to him. And don't just say, that's brother so-and-so. That's scripture. That's from his word. Paul would tell them, he said, you know, I'm an apostle and an elder. He gave his qualifications. Not that Paul thought he was something. He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. He said, but because I am these things, and by God's grace I'm these things, then you need to heed those things you're being taught. And that's what we, when these ministers come from near and far and preach to us, and they share with us the truth, it isn't just their opinion. This is the truth. We should heed them. And that's true when they're close by too, when they're their pastor in the pulpit. He says, now we exhort you. We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. There are sometimes God's little children get unruly. And when they get unruly, they need to be warned. Now, does this mean it without love? You know what he said to do without love? Absolutely nothing. There's not a thing we're to ever do without love. If it's not in love, it doesn't matter what you do. If it's not in love, it's unprofitable. Most daddies and mamas know this. We've done our very best to try to say something that needed to be said. We knew it needed to be said. We knew it needed to be done, but sometimes it's not been done in love. Now I ask you, how effective has that been when you give the best admonition and there's no love in it? I'll tell you what I found. It doesn't work very well. I know this. That if anger rises up in me, but whatever I say is going to be wrong. It's going to be a mess. Even though I might be dead on the issue, and I might be standing exactly for what I need to stand on, I need to do that how? God's little children, how should we do it? Always in love. Love is not weakness. Love is power. Love is strength. Love is not compromise. It's uncompromising. Love bears all things, believeth all things, endureth all things. And in 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us that whatever we do, love is essential. And that love is identified as charity in 1 Corinthians 13. But it's a love that brings about action in our lives. And that means when we're operating in the church, let's stand for the right thing. But let's stand how? Stand in love. And if we ever forget our first love, we ever forget that and stop operating in that, well, we get in dangerous ground. Time is gone, and I don't even know how I got all the way over here, but that's okay. Wasn't where I was thinking about going, but I'm here. So he says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, But notice that not everybody that's wrong is unruly. Some are feeble-minded. Some just don't, and this isn't an insult. This is talking about they just don't know any better. And there's a difference between someone who's ruly. That unruly person is one who knows the rules, but I'm not going to follow them. And then the feeble-minded is one simply doesn't know the rules. This one is a one who's just weak in an understanding. And who could that be? It could be me. It could be you. It could, you know, sometimes we think we know it all. Well, we're feeble-minded when we get to thinking we know it all. And if we don't, there are maybe areas that we have some understanding and some knowledge about, but then there are other areas that we're going to be feeble-minded. Is that not true? And I'm telling you that's true spiritually as well. There are going to be areas. And by the way, it's wonderful how the Lord has so designed the church to make this little brother strong in this area, this little brother strong in this area, this little brother strong in that area, so and this little sister strong in this area, so that the way they're all strong is when they're all walking in the gift God gives them, because they all come to be a big help to one another. Have you found that to be the case? Absolutely. And brethren, we are to warn them that are unruly when someone is just simply not following the rules. We should share with them the results of what we've known in God's Word. When His children don't follow the rules, there are consequences, aren't there? I'm telling you, when men openly and women openly defy the Lord and just decide, I've seen people just decide to do the wrong thing. As we've heard today, there are some people voting or not voting on whether to go with this or go with that, some idea that's foreign to the Word of God, whatever that idea might be. There's a lot of that in this world today where people just think, I can change the Bible just by all of us getting together and voting on it. Some groups called churches that say, we'll just get together and vote on it and see what everybody thinks. I'm telling you, the Lord never said, y'all do what you think. He never told any old Baptist church, just do what you think. He said, here's the rules, and if you don't follow them, you are what? If you know them and you don't follow them, you are unruly. And what do you need? You need a warning. That warning can come firm, but it always should be in love. Isn't that true? Always in love. But then there are some who just simply don't know. You're to be careful how you deal with them. How do you deal with those who don't know? You comfort them. How do you comfort them? You give them the truth. You tell them the truth. And then you tell them the rules. You supply to them the rules. This is what the Bible says. How do you do it? In love, long-suffering, and doctrine. And you bear long with them. Love bears long and is kind and is not puffed up. It doesn't. But you don't go like, well, you mean you're an old Baptist. You don't know this. You know, that's the best way I know to lose what you're trying to say to the brother or the sister. You're an old Baptist. You mean you don't know this? How many of us like when we're dealt with that way? I know even when your parents, you don't know this. You know, does that get us very far? Now listen, if it's something you ought to know and you've been taught, the Apostle Paul wasn't hesitant to warn the unruly. And a faithful minister should not be hesitant to warn the unruly in love. But he needs to be firm and he needs to be willing to warn them, as the Apostle Paul did and others did. But then there's another type that times that don't know any better, and you're to comfort the feeble-minded. And then there are those that know better, but they're just weak in the faith. They're young sometimes in the faith. They're weak in the faith. And what do you do with them? Well, you support them. How? It's by following what the Lord tells us in His Word. We're to support the weak and be patient. Oh my goodness, how much I've missed so many times. Things that I could have been so much better off in if I'd have just been patient. Want somebody to do something the way I want them to do it, and I really want them to do it now. And I'll tell you, if a pastor gets his ideas and his thoughts like that, he's going to take that little flock and scatter them from here to there. And if he says, Lord, help me be faithful to preach, and you guide them, you lead them. You know, it's amazing how God can take things and just straighten them out. Let me say it this way. It's amazing how God can take you and me and just straighten us out. You ever said, I'll never do that ever? And the next thing you know, the Lord has you doing it, and you're so glad to get to do it. Jonah said, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm telling the old boy was glad to go when the Lord finished with him. He got a little trouble after that. It wasn't just done with him, but the Lord had a lot of preparation for Jonah because he was his servant. And I'm telling you, the Lord has a lot of preparation. The eye had not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered in the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. I'm telling you, God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. We have by the Spirit understand, yea, the deep things of God. And the Lord can cause you. Sometimes when we get lifted up and say, I'm not going to do this. I'll never do that. I'll never catch myself doing that. Oh, I'm telling you, how God deals with us is amazing. And you know, as a pastor, I've learned that the many times, and I haven't learned as good as I ought to, because sometimes I forget it. But I want to learn it better and better. There are things that you absolutely need to address and confront, but there are things that you just simply say, Lord, you confront them and you lead them. If you get people doing just what you want to do because they know you want them done and they do it just for you, is that serving the Lord or is that serving the preacher? But I tell you, when the Lord gets them and they're coming because he's done something, because he's shown them, he's worked on them, and that works also the other way when you get it. I mean, when I get it. I'm saying I get it. Sometimes you think it's, oh, they got to do this, you got to do that, and you find out they ain't got to do it. You're the one that needs it done. You're the one that needs this. And that's a great, great, that's a great, great blessing to know he loves us enough to do that. He said to be patient toward all men. That means all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. Isn't that nature to do that? He does me, I'm going to do it. All right, that's the way he treated me. That's what our own nature says. Don't we even feel justified? Sometimes we even tell one another, well, that's what I do too. You know, if we know better, then aren't we unruly if we do that? And wouldn't that be unruly for us to do that? Sometimes we just don't know any better. That might be feeble-minded, but either way we need to be taught. He says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. I'm telling you, this is a message of peace to the churches, to God's little children. When you do it God's way, isn't it wonderful how it works? And when we try to do it our way, what a mess we make. He says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Oh, that can't say that verse enough. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? That means keep a constant ear listening to the Lord and a constant communication to him. Say, Lord, be with me. What a help that can be when you get in trouble and in despair. Just to pray and look to the Lord. And then listen and hear him in response. Hear him in his word. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I want to just close with verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. Brethren, it's so easy for us to quench the Spirit. You know, we can quench the Spirit by getting involved in things we ought not get involved in. We can quench the Spirit by not reading His feeling. Stop reading His Word, you can quench the Spirit. Quit communicating with Him, you quench the Spirit. Get your mind off when you're in a meeting, get your mind off the things that are being said. Get it on the things you got going on in the world, and you can quench your spirit. And get your mind on the natural things going on in a meeting. Rather than the spiritual, well, you know what happens? You quench your spirit. You could have everything else running just right. It's so important for us not to quench the spirit. In our homes, remember who's the head of our homes. Remember the Lord is the head of our homes. Remember, if we have Him, we have all we need. And everything else is His blessing He's given us. I'll tell you, it's a joy and a blessing to live. And don't quench your spirit. Remember that we have to be actively seeking His face and His counsel. It doesn't mean that He won't take care of us one way or the other. But I'm telling you, when God's little children draw near to Him, they feel His manifest presence. And all is well. It is well with my soul. When you have a mind to pray, I appreciate your kind attention this afternoon. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you.